This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, we're going to continue our series on the USEA 2015 Hall of Fame inductees with Jimmy Wofford remembering Dick and Vita Thompson. We'll also hear from Emma Ford and Kat Hill about the book they co-authored entitled World Class Grooming. But we begin with our lead up to the Neutrina USEA American Eventing Championships, which are being held from September the 24th to the 27th, as we hear from some of the riders who will be heading to the Texas Rose Horse Park in Tyler, Texas. Among them are Josephine and Anna Duggan, who will be riding in the Beginner Novice Junior Rider 14 and Under and the Training Junior and Young Rider divisions, respectively. First of all, we'll hear from Anna's younger sister, Josephine. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So now you're, 11 years old, aren't you? How old is your pony?
Yes, I'm 11 and my pony is about 10.
And how long have you been riding him?
For 2 years, but I've been riding since I could walk.
Oh, you've been riding a long time then.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about him and his name and what you call him in the barn and how you found him. How long you've been riding him and how you first found him.
His name is Buster. My dad actually found him, but I don't know where.
What did you like about him when you first started to ride him?
I loved him. He was just so cute and amazing at dressage. He could just do everything, basically.
Now, do you like the dressage part of it?
I do, yeah.
You do. So if he's good at it, then you get off to a good start usually, do you?
Yeah.
And now what about the cross country? What does he like or not like about that?
He's super good at cross country. He's amazing at jumping. He just does not like jumping on grass rings.
Okay, so he'll like the sand then, will he, in Texas?
Yes, he will.
That will suit him. Now, what's his show jumping like?
It's very good. He's amazing at show jumping.
Is he? And what's he like as a person, you know, in the barn? What kind of temperament does he have, Josephine?
He's kind of naughty, but he loves people and just everything.
So he behaves with you, does he, when you're riding him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he does. Good. Now, tell us a little bit about what you've done with him in competition this year, then.
I've done a couple of competitions leading up to nationals. I just haven't done too many because I don't want him to hurt himself.
Well, that's very smart. So what have you done in those competitions? Tell me how they went for you.
They went really well. So at Millbrook Horse Trials, I was first.
Wow, were you really? Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And awesome. Then at Fitch's Corner, I was fourth.
Right. And what was the difference for you about those two competitions with him?
I think that Fitch's was harder for me because it was just, it was on grass and it was harder for him and me.
Now, what do you enjoy most about eventing?
I either like the cross country or dressage the best.
Okay, but not the show jumping. Why is that?
No, I think it's just really stressful.
Oh, is it? Because it all depends on those last few rails, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, what about competing yourself then? Are you someone that gets nervous? Or how do you deal with the pressure of competing?
I get a little nervous sometimes, but I don't really show it, so.
Oh, you keep it all under control, do you?
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about going to the AECs in Texas? That's a long road trip for you with Buster.
Yeah.
How do you think he'll handle that?
He's good with trailer rides. He's very good. And I think he'll be good.
And you'll be traveling with him, will you?
He'll be going in a Judge Manning trailer, and I will go by myself on an airplane with my sister.
Oh, with your sister, of course. What about your parents?
Yeah, they'll be there, but my mom will go a few days before me to take care of him when he arrives.
Oh, marvelous. So she grooms for you, does she?
Yes.
Oh, that's a great family team effort then.
Yes, it is.
Now, going to such a big competition, though, I mean, that's huge, isn't it? You must be very excited.
I'm so excited. It's actually Buster's fourth year going and my second year going.
Right.
So we have lots of experience, too.
You do. You've been there. You know what it's like. Tell us about last year, though, how that went for you and what you learned from it.
Last year I went. It was very good. I went all clear. I actually went on a different pony. Her name was Rainbow.
And how did that go? What did you learn that you can be, you know, more helpful to Buster this year with his first year there with you?
I learned that I think I'm going to walk him around so he can just see and smell all the different sights and get used to it.
Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of top riders there. Who are your heroes?
Lainey Ashker.
Lainey. Okay, so she was just riding in Burley at last weekend.
Yeah, she was.
And now, who else is that would be there that you'd like to ride with, even?
I would like to ride with all of my friends. So if they ride with me at the barn, that's Karina Erickson and Isabel Finnemore.
All right, so you're going to be one strong team there, then, from upstate New York. And that, of course, includes your sister Anna, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Now, are you very competitive with her?
Sort of, yeah, but she's just a little better than me, so.
Well, I mean, there's always time for you to catch up, isn't there?
Yeah.
Do you think Buster is going to be the partner? How much longer do you think you'll be able to ride him? Because he's, what, 13.2, and you're probably growing very fast.
Yeah, I am. So I think maybe like a year and a half.
Right, and then what do you want to do? Do you want to get a bigger pony, maybe a little horse, and do you want to do eventing for a long time to come?
Yeah, I want to keep doing eventing and probably get a bigger pony.
All right. So when you grow up, what do you want to do in eventing?
I just want to keep going at it and be really competitive.
And ride at Rolex one day?
Yes.
That's the goal, is it? Okay. Well, the AECs is a great experience and stepping stone all the way to the top, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, I want to wish you the very best of luck with Buster.
Thank you so much. When
you get to the Texas Horse Park in a couple of weeks' time. So now we're going to hear from your sister Anna about her ride and see if she's just as competitive with you. So thank you for coming on the program, Josephine.
Thank you.
Well, Anna, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, just a couple of weeks now to those AECs. What kind of preparation have you had with Kildare's Cheska?
Cheska and I, up to AECs in the last, I think, 3 weeks, we've done one show at Town Hill, and other than that, we've just been doing a lot of work with dressage, with my dressage trainer, my aunt Claire Glover. And besides that, we've been doing some gymnastic exercises in the ring and just working on her strength and conditioning
Things like that. Yes, now what about competition? What have you done this year?
I've been doing training all this year.
Okay, and how has he been going, or she?
She's been great. This is my second year competing her, so I was really happy with her. Her dressage is definitely her weakest point, so I've been really working on that at shows, and we've been improving a lot. At the last two shows at Millbrook and at Town Hill, we got third twice, which I was really happy with. And at the other shows, I can't really remember what our placings were, but we were usually mostly in the top five, I was really happy with.
Yes, that's great preparation for the AECs, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, going to the AECs, is this your first time? Have you been there before?
No, this is my fourth year.
Oh, gosh, you're so a veteran of the AECs then, really?
Yes.
And what have you learned in the past then, Anna, that do you think will help you this year with the mare?
I think that, well, since last year, I did have AECs on her at training last year, and the cross-country course was definitely bigger than anything else at any of the other shows that I had done. So definitely schooling up to AECs this year, I'll definitely be practicing bigger cross-country jumps and combinations and things like that, just to make sure that I'm really prepared.
And what about fitness? I mean, being in upstate New York, you have good preparation, do you, in terms of the endurance element of getting the ponies fit for a big competition?
Yeah, I have this huge field by my house. And so Cheska and I usually do trot sets, and then we trot around once around the field, and then canter, and then back and forth, just to get her stamina up and her speed.
And how often do you ride? Because obviously you're in school, you're 16 now, right? So you're in school, and what sort of time does that give you for riding every day then, Anna?
Well, I do riding as a sport at school. So I ride basically every day. And then, yeah, so basically I ride every day, except for Tuesdays is Cheska's and I's day off.
Right. So going to the AECs then, I mean, the preparation now, you've got 2 weeks. What will you do with the mare leading up to that, and when will you leave for Texas?
Leading up to Texas in preparation, I'm going to do lots of show jumping training with Michelle Stahovic. She helps me with my show jumping preparation and gymnastics and things. And then cross-country schooling, practicing over bigger jumps and combinations. I'll be practicing with Bully Selmayr. And then dressage. I do a lot of dressage to make sure that her back is completely strengthened and that she's very strong. So that, because dressage helps her so much with jumping and show jumping and balancing around turns and things like that. So, and then,
Well, obviously, being a teenager, you're young and you're fairly fit, but do you find that you enjoy doing any other sports or fitness as well to help you with your riding, Anna?
Yeah, well, I play squash competitively at school in the winter, so I do practice a lot sometimes during the summer, which helps, and sometimes I run. I run when I have time just to keep myself fit and ready.
Well, we know that there are many choices, obviously, with sport generally, but with equestrian sport, but clearly you have a passion for eventing. Why is that? Why do you choose eventing over anything else?
I really love eventing because I think that you can just have such a bond with your horse, and you learn so much about your horse through the three different aspects, dressage, cross country, and show jumping, and that there's just so many different things that you have to do and learn to be able to succeed at all three, and you just really have to work so hard and able to have the best results that you can possibly.
Well, I asked your sister Josephine this, so I'm going to ask you too, who your heroes are in the sport, who you aspire to be and to ride like and to ride with perhaps one day.
My two heroes in eventing would be Boyd Martin and Lane Ashker, I think. They both are just really amazing riders and such good horse people.
And as you get older now, I mean, when there'll come a time when you leave school and maybe riding won't be so convenient when you start a career, but how do you see eventing fitting into your life in the future then, Anna? Do you have an idea of where you would like to go with it?
Well, I definitely want to continue riding and eventing as I get older and go to college. And when I start to look at college, I'm definitely going to be looking at schools that have riding so that I can continue competing and hopefully bringing Cheska with me, which would be great.
That would be great if you can continue the partnership. How old is she now?
She is 8.
All right, so perfect. Lots more years, hopefully, of eventing with her.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah.
All right, so in this final warm-up to the AECs, what are you most looking forward to about going back there?
I'm really looking forward to the cross-country course. I just think it's such a great course, and it's so much fun. And hopefully this year will be the best year yet, hopefully.
All right.
Well,
lots to look forward to, and obviously a great family trip as well. Going with your sister and your parents, it becomes quite an outing for the family.
Yes, exactly, it is.
All right. Well, the very best of luck with it, Anna. I hope it all goes according to plan and you have lots of fun. Thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you so much.
And joining me now are the co-authors of World Class Grooming, Emma Ford and Kat Hill. Emma, let's start with you a little bit. You are known to some, but let's give a little bit of background as to what you've been doing with your career and why you felt compelled to write this, which is your first book, isn't it?
Definitely the first book. So I've been with Philip Dutton now since 2005, and originally from England, coming up through a hunting background. And I actually started my grooming career in Massachusetts with Adrienne Iorio. And we sort of came up the levels together. She got more advanced horses and I started grooming more. And when she went to Blenheim 3-star was the one that got me and said, I want to do this professionally and groom professionally and be able to go all to all these big competitions. So from there, I moved to Phillips, which obviously gave me the best opportunity to take up on that decision. And things have obviously just gone from crazy to even more crazy. But and then as for the book, well, it was actually Kat's idea, and she asked me to join in on her. But we're always getting asked at shows, you know, what studs to use or what do we do with our horses to make their coats look so good or how do we fix this problem? And so it just seemed a good time to come out with this book.
Well, there certainly is a demand. Well, Kat, tell us a little bit about your background and why you were interested in this subject and put it to Emma.
Well, I grew up very backyard. So I grew up in upstate New York where the horse care is pretty frightful at a lot of the places. You know, a lot of the places that board horses advertise that they clean stalls once a day as that's a, you know, big draw. And I grew up doing breed shows and Arabs and then went on to do show hunters in college and sort of hated all of the pomp but really liked the care that went into it. And then I went over to Ireland and spent several months and went, oh, wait, they take very different care of horses over in Europe than they do here. And even the kids had to take care of their horses over there in a way that was just crazy to me from where I came up with as far as how much better it was than what our poor horses had been, you know, kind of living with where I was from. And then I got into eventing. When I came back into the States, I sort of fell into managing Mara DePue's barn and then sort of realized the whole next level of care and decided that there was really a need, especially among the younger generation here, for there to be a standard of care if you fell outside the realm of pony club. And it just seemed like we would get working students. Emma and I would always call Emma complaining, because we would get these working students in that just, I mean, they didn't know how to clean a stall. So we thought we needed to really write something to help them out with the basics.
And so you thought of Emma as a co-author for this title then?
I couldn't imagine her doing it by myself. Emma and I got quite close when I worked for Mara, and we would always chat about it, and Emma had a very different perspective. I always worked small barns that had very intimate care of their horses. Emma obviously has a very different world. It's definitely not small, and she definitely had to learn how to take the best care of, you know, 80 horses versus my 10 horses. And I thought that we really needed both sides of that realm as far as how do you take care of, you know, horses when you realistically don't have the time to do absolutely every little thing? How do you prioritize what's really important? You know, where do you save time? And I couldn't have done it without Emma, that's for sure.
Well, Emma, obviously you know the difference between grooming in Europe and grooming over here and basic horse care and management, which obviously appeals to you to really widen the market in terms of, you know, what becomes the norm and something I'm sure you feel very passionate about. So how did you arrive at the content? Where did you start and how did you decide on how you were going to tackle what is a pretty extensive and detailed title in all aspects of horse care and management?
That's a really good question. First of all, we just like would sit, me and Kat just sat down, and I think individually we sort of wrote down, we planned to do, well, let's take it in two sections. Let's do what we do at the barn and then what we do at the show. And I think initially we both sort of wrote down what each of us do in a day and sort of decided how we were going to break it up into the chapters, sort of break it down into just general management and then sort of more specific management. And, you know, like Kat said, for me, it was sort of important. I wanted to get across how important it was for people to spend time with their horses, and it shouldn't be just a case that you get on and ride, and how it's very, you know, part of riding is knowing your horse inside out. And definitely coming from England, I'm very fortunate to have worked in two barns that are very, you know, both riders are very persistent in that people had to know their horses. But it was very obvious around me that I was surrounded by children that they were just there to ride. They didn't, you know, necessarily want to take care of their own horses. So for me, that was my personal endeavor. It's like to try and encourage people that this can be fun, and it, you know, you should want to really want the best for your horse to then go on and ride it the best you can as well. So
that's how you broke it down. Obviously, you know, I think you've hit on a key thing over here, Emma, isn't it? It's that barn time. It's the time that young people need to spend with their horses, you know, on their feet.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, having that eye for, oh, he's, you know, he just doesn't have that sparkle today that, you know, that I just, he normally has or whatever. And you could, you know, just the other day, one of my boys came in and I just brought him out of the stall, and he just took, you know, he just didn't want to go into the grooming stall, which for him is totally unnatural. And it's a very simple thing to think about. But, you know, I ended up having to get the vet out, and we probably, you know, we're on the verge of having a colic, but we caught it super early and got it treated before it even came to that point, you know. And it's just that matter of within that minute I could be like, something's wrong. And to me, that's very important.
Yeah, it all comes down to what I call ABC, appearance, behavior, condition, and being in tune with that. It's, so that's really a lesson that you wanted to get across with the contents of this book then.
Yeah.
Very much so. Well, Kat, talk a little bit about how you approach this book then, with, you know, both of you being busy in the barn every day. It's quite an undertaking to write a book. So how did you tackle it at the start?
Well, it was a little bit mayhem. And I have to say, I think it was definitely a learning curve for Emma and I. So what we first did was we sort of said, okay, we wrote our outline. We wrote down what we wanted, as Emma said. And then we had my wonderful sister-in-law, who's a brilliant photographer. And we decided, okay, let's have her come out. We'll do a big photo shoot. We'll kind of go through our day and have her take lots of pictures. And we'll do some of the show stuff. And then we'll kind of see where that takes us. And so we did a photo shoot at the Wildersons farm in Virginia. They were kind enough to let us use their facility. Their absolutely gorgeous facility and their wonderful horses. And we had Jess come down, and she ended up taking, I think it was over 5,000 pictures over the course of 2 days, where we just woke up at, you know, 5:30 in the morning, and we just took pictures until, you know, we fell over at the end of the day. And then we went home and started sorting through them and sort of divided up chapters and said, okay, why don't you work on this, and I'll work on this, and you work on this, and I'll work on this. And then it was a lot of emails back and forth, phone calls back and forth, you know, sort of trying to catch each other when we could. And then one of the nice parts about it, it was meant we actually got a little bit of dedicated time as grooms. We've developed our friendship mostly over, you know, cleaning, tack, and icing horses at events. It was actually kind of nice to sit at each other's houses and, you know, have a tea and chat while we did the book. But it was, there were few and far between that we were actually able to do that, so they always were a bit intensive. It was just sort of a lot of different modes of communication and trying to catch each other in down moments.
Emma, talk a little us through the actual content, the chapter contents and the subject areas that you covered, if you can.
Oh, blimey. well, so we started off, Kat, you'll have to join in if I got this wrong. We started off with just sort of overall care, literally getting up. We literally start from like how to go and catch your horse in the paddock to putting the halter on correctly, leading it in, and making a point of, if you don't do these things correctly, then, you know, further down the line, you're going to end up with a horse that's like walks all over you or is bolshy going into a stall, or, you know, so you want to start from the beginning very correctly. And then, so we've cut, you know, then we, within that chapter of like mucking out and picking out feet and the very basics of grooming, we also covered sort of things to watch out for in the barn, like, you know, decobwebbing and why that's important and how your electrical cords all are. And have you checked your fences lately around the paddock? And what about your feed buckets? Have you washed, are you washing them every day? Are you washing them every other day? You know, are you, you know, even to refilling water buckets every day, not just, you know, filling them when you feel like it. So, you know, I really feel that the first few chapters are the very basics. And then we went on to cover sort of your options of when tacking up a horse, what are you doing with that horse that day? Do you want polos? Do you want brushing boots? Do you need bell boots? And how to correctly apply all those. And also then, you know, so you've worked your horse, then bringing them in and how to call them out correctly after the various, you know, whatever you've worked. And the big trouble we had was like, obviously this book could have been friggin' double the size it is, because how do you cut down on, you know, how you call out? We have to think about, well, okay, now it's a 55-degree day and you've just galloped, but then you're going to have a 90-degree day and you've just galloped. So, you know, we had to condense it all and sort of go over everything. Probably not in as great a depth as we could have, but we ended up having to cut various things out because the publisher's like, the book's going to be too expensive if we had actually everything. And in the show section, we literally took it, the publishers very much wanted us to cover disciplines. So we felt the first half of the book, how you take care of a horse, it doesn't matter whether you're pure dressage, pure show jumping, an eventer, you know, how you take care of a horse is how you take care of a horse. So we kept that very much together. And then in the second half of the book, we sort of split it a little bit more into disciplines and how you braid for pure dressage, or how you braid for eventing and your options, how you braid for show jumping and your options, and then a hunter jumper, and how to take care of, you know, the long tails versus a pulled tail versus braiding a tail. And then, Kat, join in. What after that?
So we basically went through, we started at home and then talked about how to get your horse ready for a show, and then traveling. And then at the show, how do you braid, how do you do tails, and then aftercare. So we sort of set it up as a progression, so that, you know, as you were going to compete, you know, the book sort of progresses as if you you take care of your horse at home, then you get it ready to go, then you put it on a horse trailer, then you're at the show, and then you take care of them after your competition or after exercise. But there was a lot of, editing. We sort of tried to cover, we wanted anybody to be able to really use the book. So whether you've just gotten your very first horse and you're just, you know, sort of figuring out how to take care of them at home and, you know, what you should be looking for at your boarding barn, to you're going to your first, you know, CCI, or you're going to your first A-rated hunter show. So that, you know, that horse care would sort of, it really was about the fact that any level should be taking care of their horses the same way as far as the basics, and then how do you elevate as your horse's workload elevates.
And Emma, I'm sure you want to emphasize that this is not just for eventers. This is horse care for any discipline or even non-competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, one of the main questions I've had, like, or going out on these book signs, like, oh, well, you know, I just pleasure ride. Will I find anything in it? Or, you know, and I'm like, this covers everything. Even if you don't compete, there will be something in there that maybe you haven't thought about. Like, we even cover, you know, a lot of people trailer somewhere to pleasure ride. And it's like, we've covered all trailering, the safest way to trailer and what you should think about while trailering. So yeah, it absolutely, it does not matter what age you are or what discipline. I'd like to think I can guarantee you'll find something in there that is suited to your situation.
Emma, were there any times when you didn't agree on how to present a topic? Because, you know, we all know we all have our own styles and habits after being in the business a long time, as I'm sure Emma does. So were there any moments there where you thought, well, no, I do it differently?
I think for the most part we came together pretty pretty well. Like I don't feel that we had any disagreements on anything. There was a couple of interesting, like after the first edit, the publishers actually were like, well, they would actually disagree with us on how we term, you know, terminology of such things. And we were like, well, wait a minute, we're the ones doing it. This is what we say. So to be honest, there was more there than, the first example that came up, they wanted to call what we call button braids. They wanted to use the term knob when we rolled off a braid. And obviously I was completely like, no, we're not using that term. Like, I'm like, you know what that means in England?
Right.
You know? So I definitely feel me and Kat were pretty much on par, but there was definitely a couple of times with the publishers we had to go up against them and be like, no, this is the way we want it.
Divided by a common language. Well,
yeah.
Obviously it's well illustrated and there's extensive detail in this, and you really are approaching a huge market here. So hopefully sales are going well, are they, Kat? Do you know?
They are. You know, our publisher has been really, really happy. We're actually scheduled now to be published in the UK starting this fall, which is super exciting. Because it means that we're doing well. And it's nice because we've had feedback from everybody, from, you know, some people who do like breed shows where they do English and Western, to trail riders, to hunters, and everybody seems to like it. It seems to be well received. You know, it's actually quite exciting for Emma and I, as well as terrifying. We gave our book to George Morris when he was at Windura for a clinic. And it was pretty neat because it seemed as if he'd heard of it. It seemed as if he'd heard about it, and, you know, he sort of said to us, this is what people need. They need to, you know, take care of them first, the horses first. So it is selling well, and it seems to be selling well in lots of markets, which is, you know, was ultimately the goal, is to get it to as many people as we possibly can.
Well, it's a fantastic effort by both of you, I'm sure. In your spare time, I'm wondering, Emma, with all the spare time you have, are you thinking that there's another book in you?
Not right now. Not right now. We're actually, in our spare time, we're actually trying to develop, like, grooming clinics from the book. We held one at True Prospect at the end of May that went extremely well. And we've got plans for November to I got one scheduled in Massachusetts and one in Ohio. So we're hoping to go out and spread the word by actually physically having people come and be hands-on in the grooming clinics and show them exactly,
all right,
you know,
so
how to take care of them.
So you're going to be roaders as well. So the tour is on.
That's the plan. That's the plan.
All right, wonderful. Well, congratulations to both of you. Obviously, a much-needed title there and being well-received in the market, and sounds like around the world too. So I hope it continues to sell well. Thank you very much for coming on the program, and good luck with the grooming clinics.
Thank you very much.
Continuing our series on the 2015 USEA Hall of Famers, this week we take a look at the life of Dick and Vita Thompson, who have made an enormous contribution to the sport of eventing. And joining me now to remember those times is Jimmy Wofford. Jimmy, welcome back to the program.
Chris, thank you for having me.
Well, it is a walk down memory lane for you, but a fond one.
Very much of a fond one. I have known Dick and Vita Thompson most of my life through their involvement with the Radnor 3-day event, and that's reaching back now. But one has to know that in the 70s and 80s, Radnor was the Rolex of the country. We didn't have all of these wonderful facilities that we have now. And they put on an absolutely spectacular event there every October. And so, you know, Dick and Vita were widely known in the sport already. And then in the late 70s, Vita became interested in being an owner. And she had a rider, and they went to Europe and bought a horse, and brought it back, and the horse didn't work out. And the rider decided she wanted to do something else, and Dick and Vita approached me, and this was probably 1980 when this was going on, and I was already thinking about retiring, and you know that I might have one more run at the Olympics in 1984, but I really could feel that my life was ready to go in a new direction. And then suddenly Dick and Vita appeared and said that they wanted to try again. They wanted to buy horses and make a run at the big time. And I thought, goodness gracious, you know, two of the nicest people in the world want to get involved. I have to take this opportunity. And they really extended my career another Olympic quadrennial. The first horse we bought was a horse called Rockingham, and he was an intermediate horse in Ireland. He was the thoroughbred horse, and he eventually went on to win a 3-star in England, and was a non-traveling reserve in 84. And then in the spring of 1981 or 82, it's a long time ago now, Judy Bradwell came to me, and she'd had a terrible injury and was afraid she wouldn't be able to compete again. She had really broken her leg badly. And she approached me at the Essex horse trials in New Jersey and asked if I would be interested in buying Castle Welland. And I said, let me get right back to you. And I called Dick and Vita, and they immediately said yes. And the horse arrived here untried. Castle Welland won Radnor. He was second at Rolex. He was the traveling reserve in 1984. I think he was fourth at Burley with me. And so, you know, just about everything they touched was successful. It's important to note, people don't remember them now, but Vita, who really had the driving interest in the horses, Vita had fox hunted for about 30 years, nonstop. She was very keen. And part of the reason she got into owning eventers was that she had stopped hunting recently. And what this did for me was I did not have to explain horses to Vita. Vita understood horses. She understood that they had good days and bad days. She understood that they had very inventive ways of injuring themselves. She just, you know, she totally understood it. And Dick was very supportive. And he understood the mechanics of the sport. He was longtime treasurer at Radnor Horse Trials. He was the president of the Radnor Horse Trials. He came back as treasurer. He just had a lifelong involvement in it. And then when the Radnor Horse Trials dissolved due to the loss of the land around the hunt club there, Dick started announcing, and many people will remember him as one of the voices of eventing, because anywhere you could go, you might hear his voice booming out over the loudspeaker. An unusual couple, Chris, as I hope I've been able to convey.
Well, unusual in that they had so many varied interests in the sport, too. But did they ever event themselves or compete, or was it just fox hunting that they had a passion for?
No, it was just fox hunting that they had a passion for, and that passion continued throughout their life, because my deal with Dick and Vita was I said, look, you know, this is an unusual opportunity. I would like the chance to compete for the next few years, but I really don't see myself going past Los Angeles, and Castle Welland was still sound and fit and ready to go. And they said, who do you think would ride this horse well? And I said, Karen O'Connor, can do the job for you. And until Kim Severson came along, Karen won the fall championships by the largest margin that anyone had ever posted in an international event. I mean, she was ahead by 20 or 30 points when she came into the show jumping. I think it's safe to say she could have knocked down every jump and still won. So this was an unusual horse. He won CCIs with three different riders, and really started Karen on the road to real success. She had been a team rider before that, but Casawellan was a big winner for her.
And it was a partnership that obviously meant a great deal to you to have that opportunity at that point in your career, Jimmy.
Well, Vita and Dick were life changers for me because I would not have, I think I won as many events in the last 4 years as I had in the years leading up to it. And it was entirely because of the horses that they had.
And, of course, their contribution through the Radnor Horse Trials was significant, too, in that that was one of the premier events in the country at that time.
Well, it was the premier event, Chris. I mean, the entire eventing world gathered there. We won't see anything like that again now because we have, a multiplicity of wonderful facilities. And so you don't necessarily have everyone coming from the West Coast because there was no three-day event out there. And they have Galway now. And plus, the competitors' party had to be witnessed at least once in your life because that was quite a bash.
Well, they certainly did make a wonderful contribution, and they did it in style, too, not through the horse trials themselves, but through their ownership, their participation. And, as you say, Dick's voice being heard around the venues around this country. So they will be fondly remembered, Jimmy, won't they?
Yes, they certainly are by me, and I think this is a wonderful opportunity for people to remember them and to note their accomplishments.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and sharing your memories of Dick and Vita Thompson.
Thank you, Chris.
And that's it for this week's program. We'll be hearing from more riders in the lead up to the AECs. As well, we'll be remembering more inductees to this year's Hall of Fame. And don't forget, you can download this podcast from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app so you can listen on the go. Be sure to keep up to date with all the latest news on the website at useventing.com and through our social media by following us on Facebook and Twitter. Until next week, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.